truth that is, if you and I serve him, he'll bless us. He'll bless us. And the older we get, the sweeter he ought to grow to us. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I know it come a pretty big shower there. And I said, Lord, don't let that keep people away from church. And right after I got through praying, a little sun come out. And you know, they tell me 19 drops of rain will keep 20 Baptists away from church. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Looked like a good crowd. And I'm so glad that you're here. And preacher, I appreciate you letting me come. I mean that. I've enjoyed these 2 days. I've enjoyed that motel room. I enjoyed them goodies. I brought that sack back tonight. If I was staying on, I'd ask you to refill it. But I'll have to leave in the morning. But I didn't get all, I haven't eaten all them goodies. But I'll eat them going down the road and so on and so forth. And then the lady gave me some real good oatmeal cookies this morning. I am addicted to oatmeal cookies and ice cream, man. I tell you, that's amazing. You ought to try it night before you go to bed. Get you some of that good old, what am I trying to think of, dear? The best kind. Breyers ice cream. Watch for it on sale. You know, it's $6, but if you watch for it, you can get 2 for $6. And I keep it all the time. It's good for you, it's healthy, and so on. So you be sure and do that. It'll really help you, and I enjoyed it. But you have. You got a lot of good stuff in there, and I appreciate it, and I really mean it. Those nabs are good. Now, some of you people, you Yankees, and you city people don't know what a nab is. I asked last night. Some of you didn't know. Anybody ought to know what a nab is. Let me tell you, back here years ago, there was a missionary we supported, and he went with me one day visiting. And I had 2 funerals that day. And we didn't have time to stop for lunch. And at one of the funeral homes, I said to him, I said, let's run in here and get us a Coke and a nab. And so we did. Went on another funeral. We got home about 5 in the evening. He said, my wife said, I hope that y'all had a good day. And he said, we did. I said, Brother Bobby was pretty busy today, you know. And said, we stopped and got a, I think he called it a nub, she said. I thought, my. But that's peanut butter and crackers is what it is, if you don't know. And so it's so good. I appreciate these preachers being here tonight, and you preachers back there. God bless you. I thought about this. By the way, turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, and we'll read some scripture in a little while. I thought about J. Townley Davis. Brother Gene remembers him, and I don't know, Brother Cook, several of you. J. Townley used to preach for me a whole lot. And one night, one of my preacher friends, a little bit late, and J. Townley got up to preach. And old Paul Raker over there at Faith Baptist, and where Dr. Rice and Dr. Holland used to. Anyway, Paul came in a little late, and old Townley's preaching. He said, come on in, brother. You know, Townley walked and preached like he was plowing. You remember that? And old Townley said, come on in, Brother Paul. Used to scare me to talk to preachers, but I preached to them like a bunch of ex-convicts. Just sat down and listened, he said. Amen. I wish I could share, and I'm going to, and I won't preach long. I was thinking about your buses here. I love the bus ministry, and I'm glad to see them. People saying, well, it's dying all over the... Sometime fellow says it don't work. Let me tell you why it won't work. Because we're too lazy to work. That's exactly it. That's it. And if there's ever a time we need the bus ministry, we need it now. We need it now. You bring in people, we bring in people that's never been inside a church. And they don't know how to act, you know. But we need them people. If we're going to send missionaries to the field, let's try to get them here too. And I love it. Let me tell you a little bit about our bus ministry. I just thought about it a while ago. You don't mind telling. It's been 49 years ago, I think I'm right. We had a death on a Sunday morning of a member. Let me say 7 or 8 miles from church. I went before church that morning to try to comfort the family. I'm on my way back. It's a sunny, summer, beautiful morning, Sunday morning. I'm on my way back to church to get there to preach at 11 o'clock. About 10:30, about 4 miles from church, I just happened to turn my head, and it's a big mobile home park out there. And there was probably at least 30 little boys and girls playing in the front of the first mobile home that's playing around it. And I never thought of it till then. And just as bright, just seemed like God says, I want you to do something. It's Sunday school time. To get those little boys and girls to hear about Jesus, they'll die and go to hell. And that's been about 49 years, and I'm glad I've never lost that vision. But let me tell you, I've had a lot of brainstorms in my life, but I found out when God is in something, He'll always put it together. I can't tell you how long, maybe in 3, 4, 5, 6 months after that, I was in Happy de Grace, Maryland, preaching. That's about 40 miles out of Baltimore. The pastor is a small church. He worked a job. He put me in a motel here, and he got off his job at noon and was going to eat lunch. And we got in the car and was riding down the highway. And I said, Roy, I want you to help me pray. And I told him the story. And I said, it leaves me. And he said, well, Brother Bobby, if you're interested in some used school buses, we can keep going right down this highway. 10 or 12 miles from here, there's a man sells them. He's probably got over 200 out there in the field. I said, let's go. And we went on down there. And dude, I don't know where I ever told you about it. And we got out. I was like a kid with a new toy. And I just went all around in that place looking at them. I never thought of four buses. This man come out there and I picked me out this 59 Ford. It's about 8 or 10 year old buses, you know. And he said, I want $900 a piece for them. If you'd like to have all four of them, I'll knock $100 off and sell them to you for $3,500, the four. And I said the wrong thing. I've never bought nothing at the first price, have you? And I said, well, sir, if we took them all, couldn't have Jew you down? And boy, he blessed me out. I couldn't understand. And I apologized. He was a Jew. And he didn't appreciate it. Oh, boy, I learned some things. You always learn. But listen, I looked at those buses. They were 48 passenger, 59 Ford buses. And I just fell in love with them. I come back to church after revival. I called my deacons together and I told them what happened over there that day when I was coming back to church. And I said, me and I can't get that all out of my mind. And I told them, they said, let's float to get them. Now, you don't fly out of Winston-Salem. Now you go to Greensboro. But it's old Piedmont Airline out of Winston. And it costs $35 to fly to Baltimore. And money was tight. And I had some men who worked at Reynolds, who worked there at Piedmont, and they could fly free. So two of them flew free. The church bought me a $35 ticket, another fellow. I never drove a bus before. And we left on Monday morning and went to Baltimore, and that man, 40 miles, so he come down in his car and got us. We went out to that bus barn, and our men got the bubs in them and everything and worked. And we left there at 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. They put me in the middle. They said, we don't want to lose you. We drove all night. We got into church at 7 o'clock the next morning. And at that time, some of you been, we didn't have many buildings then, and we had no paving at all. But we pulled those buses down behind what we call our teen church, you know, our other auditorium. We pulled them down there in the field and just left them. And I'd preach occasionally and talk about them. After 2 or 3 weeks, a fellow named Bobby Willard. Bobby, if he was here tonight and asked him to say a word, it'd scare him to death. He don't have the best personality, and I've told him what I'm telling you. He come down the aisle in invitation. And I said, Bobby, what do you want? This is exactly what he said. Oh, one of them buses he's been talking about. I said, where are you going? Oh, we're 7 miles out of town. Oh, in south side of Winston-Salem, get them young'uns you've been preaching about. That's what he said. I said, here it is. And the sixth week he come to me. He said, "Preacher, I got to do something. I had 92 this morning, and it's just not enough room." Now listen, that man, last month, our I think it's right, our bus minister was 48 years old in July, and he's still in it. He says, when you find God's will and what God called you for, you can't quit. And he's 76 or 77. He's had heart. He's got 5 stents in him, but he don't quit. If I'm not mistaken, he had 48 Sunday on his bus, always under 40 to 60. And I found out something. I've been to a lot of bus meetings, but I never had no bus worker to say this. He's got the cleanest bus route. We have 36 or 37 routes. But I mean, brings them in at the nicest. And you know, I was talking to him 3 or 4 months ago, and he said, "Well, let me tell you what I'll do." He said, "I got about 4 teenage girls, been going a long time. And I've taught them how the girls ought to dress, and they dress nice." And he said, "When I go work my route," he said, "they don't have much, so I get all 4 of them and I take them over to KNW&E and feed them." So that tickled them to feed them. And said, "I'm not able to knock on doors like I was, so I drive down and my girls knock on the doors." And listen, he said, if they get a new girl, say here comes out a 14, 15-year-old girl, don't have enough clothes on to go out publicly, but don't know no better. He said, those little girls will talk to her. He said, if she comes a few Sundays, she gets saved, those girls will love her and say, "Honey, I used to do," and they'll help her get something decent. I said, "Well, you know, Bobby, with all the bus places I've been and these professional, I call them bus, I've never heard of that before." To me, that's wisdom. You're not making them mad. Them little girls say, "You don't want old boys to," "No." Well, they will like you. "Come on, we're going to help you." And they help her get her little dress, and it's wonderful. But I love the bus ministry. It's battles. I mean, those CDs, we got people who'd rather go out to eat than to come in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you know what I mean. But thank God, I believe I'd be safe in saying I've got 35 to 40 who's been in it at least 40 years, and they're right there. Men and women, 65 and 70 years old, men and their wives, have got their bus ministry. Not all of them's like it. We have battles all the time. But keep up your bus ministry. That's the only hope for a lot of children. Keep up. I'm going to preach a little while in a few minutes. About 6 months ago, I got a call from a lawyer, I believe he said he was, in Winston-Salem. He said, "You had a little feller named Snooks that's been riding your bus for years." He said, "They pick him up here in Winston-Salem. He didn't have any living relatives." He said, "We businessmen, he's always around us, and we love him." And he died. And said, "We just got together and cremated him." But he talked about your church. Now, this man never been there. He said, "Would you be willing for us to bring the urn someday during the week? Would you have a little memorial service for him? We'd like to come, some of us." I said, "Sure." And I'm going to guess there's 40, 50 people there that morning. And we had the service. And they were business people out of Winston-Salem. Just loved the little man. A few months after that, I got a letter from some lawyer, and he said, "Mr. Snooks, we're settling his estate, and he's got your church will some money to it." Nobody knew he had a hardly place to lay his head. And a few weeks ago, we got a check for $80,000+. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? About 3 years ago, I got the sweetest letter. I almost quote it to you. It said, "Dear Brother Robertson, you don't know me," but said, "I was 8 years old, and somebody knocked on our door one Saturday and said, do you have any children here that's not in church? We run a Sunday school bus. We'd like to pick them up. And she said in this letter now, she said, my father was an alcoholic. My mother was living a terrible life. There was a fuss, Brother Robertson, in our home. I was 8 years old. I said, I'll never get out of this mess. But that morning when my daddy opened the door, my daddy said, there's my daughter. She can go if she wants to. And she said, I got on that bus. She said, I got saved at your church. This touches me. She said, I didn't think anybody loved me. They're out there, folks, with nobody to love them. She said, I didn't think anybody loved me. But Brother Bobby, I'd get on that old big yellow bus, and I'd sit next to the window, and I'd look out on my way to church and say, somebody does love me, don't they? Now she says this, I'm 28 years old now. I'm married to a fine Christian man. We have three children of our own. God has called us as missionaries to Alaska, and we're on our way. Please tell your people to keep it up. That's been 3 or 4 years ago. A year ago, I was preaching in the church, and that pastor said that woman and her husband's in Alaska, and they're members of our church, and she told me about this. And I told her she needs to, when she comes in on furlough, she needs to get in touch with you. I wouldn't know if she's here tonight. Folks, only eternity will tell you. Not just bus ministry, but you go after the down and out. Down and out. Bring them in. I mean them that nobody cares for. Get them. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. Well, we bring in retarded people. Lord, I happen to call me. I had one the other 2 or 3 days this week. Since I've been up here, my phone had beep. Well, somebody texted me, and he sent me his picture. He's grinning at me. He's there every morning. He just turned 50. He's been riding the bus, he says, for 44 years. He knows the Lord. He don't know much, but he knows the Lord. And now he sits over to my left, and he'll holler at me. I'll tell you one thing about it. You won't have a formal church if you get some bus ministry going. He said, hey, preacher, it's Henry. I said, Henry, good to see you, son. I'm going up, 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 up. I said, yeah, boy, amen. Now you sit still. I got another one, same way. He turned 52, I think. And he sits on the front row. And I remember that little old boy from a rough home. If he could get a necktie, he'd tie it and hang down between his legs. He just, I've given him suits. Now he's bigger than I am. And I asked my son-in-law the other day. I said, you bigger than I am. Give him a suit. He wears suits all the time. And he comes in, and man, if they don't fit him, don't matter. He's got a suit of clothes on. And he always sits right in the corner. The other day, preacher, what are we going to do about that crowd talking to piano? He'll turn around and I say, you sit there and look at me. Shut your mouth. He got his eye to his people in the balcony talking, and he'll, sometime when I'm preaching, he'll turn around and do them like that. He come to me and he said, preacher, my birthday's going to come. You tell the people now. And he sends it. He said, you tell the people I don't want no gifts. Just give me some money. Let me tell you this one. I'm going to preach. I don't know why I got in this stuff. But it's true. I'm sitting here and the bus is late one morning. And they come in this way and this way and all around. And I seen the people stressing. The choir was singing and stressing their neck. And over there on that rail, here comes old Billy on the end and sets down. Well, I didn't know what it was about. And after service, he can't write, but he got somebody. He got him an old plastic jug, a gallon jug, and he had somebody to write, please help Billy, I need some money. And he had come in and stuck that thing over there that morning. Somebody had put $2 in there. I said, you don't do stuff like that. But let me tell you, his birthday's in July, and he'll remind me about March. every week. And many of them go out to eat every time his birthday is. I don't know where he got it. But now he wants me to tell the church. He come in, my birthday was last week or week before. He come running in, he had an envelope. It wasn't really, it was just all twisted up. Here, I got you something, preacher. And then he'd grin at me. And it was a $10 bill and two ones. I don't know where he got it. Now, next Sunday, I've got to tell the people about that. He'll remind me. Tell them what I've done. I said, yeah, I will. Well, praise the Lord. God's work's wonderful, isn't it? Amen. So keep it up. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you a little while, and let me get to cool. I've got to get to moving here. I want you to look, if you will, in verse 32 with me, in Hebrews 10, verse 32. Now, let me say before I read, now hold your place there a minute. If I understand, of course, the Hebrews wrote to all of us, but it was primarily to the Hebrew, to the Jews. And I believe the Apostle Paul is the one the Lord used to write this, because he says something in this scripture makes me think. But they were discouraged. And all Christians get discouraged. And you know, in one time, if you remember, he talked about how you drifted away from the Word. You remember that? And then another time, maybe the fifth chapter, somewhere along, he talked about you're dull of hearing. Now he's talking, he's encouraging. Now I'm, look at verse 32 of the 10th chapter. Notice what, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were eliminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Now I believe he's talking. I'm in Hebrews 10, 32. You got it? I didn't know where you're still looking there or not. It's in the New Testament. Okay. All right, listen. Now notice he said, after you were eliminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I think he's reminding them what God's brought them through. In verse 33, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. Notice, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds. I think he's talking about Paul right there. That doesn't matter. And took joyfully the spoil of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now he says this. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What to me he's saying, don't get discouraged. Don't lose your confidence. Now look at the next verse. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done, the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about staying in there. He's promised to come, and he that hath promised to come, he will not tarry, but he will come. You see that? Yes, will come. I want to talk to you a few things tonight on what I believe the attitude you and I should have in this day about the second coming of Christ. Now, we know he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. We know he's coming. And we know the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when Christ comes. And as it was in the Lot, you see. I mean, this HB2 thing and all that and gender, all of that took place in Lot's day too. That's right. And God never made a woman to have a desire to be a man or a man to be a woman. God never done that. There's things the devil will use. And if you're like that tonight, don't you go away from here and say that I hate you. I love you better than that crowd will pat you on the back and tell you that God's not in it. And we want to help you. Now, I won't get into that, but you remember in Romans chapter 1, you remember that? Where the Lord said they wouldn't listen. And I give you a reprobate mind to do that which is unseemly, men with men and women with women. I would to God our country would take the Bible and quit wondering what's wrong. But what I'm trying to say, that stuff. Marriage is honorable. The bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And today, they just move in, live together, and proud of it. Those times are fulfillment of the scriptures. And if we're not careful, I've seen, and you preachers know what I mean, if you've pastored long, you see more Christians getting away from spiritual things. You get discouraged. You remember what he said, I believe it's in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. He's not talking about the laws, he's talking about us. For men shall be lovers of their self, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so on. And they will be loving pleasures more than loving God. Amen. Folks, listen, I've been pastoring church, their gospel at all these years, and your pastor could say the same thing, and probably this one in all these. And people 15, 20 years ago, who would never miss church unless it's something providential really there, drop in once in a while. I was telling my daughter and son-in-law Sunday night, I talked to one of my members Sunday afternoon. They very seldom come to Sunday night church and don't seem to be bothered at all. They can have a singing at over in Kernersville and church people go out there and take their lounge chairs and sit out there at 6 or 7 o'clock on Sunday evening when it's church time. Right. Now, we're in those times, and the Bible said it was going to be. But let's don't get discouraged about the coming of Jesus Christ. He says to these people right here, don't lose your confidence. He that cometh, he shall come, just like he said he was. He's coming back. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 1, 6, 7, listen, for even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye become behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I could go on different scriptures. Romans 8, you know, Paul said there, I believe along about verse 22, he says we groan and travail in all the time. And even the land groans, you know. God put a curse because of sin. And he said it's groaning. It's wanting to be changed. And we groan. I believe it's J. Vernon McGee I heard say one day on the radio. Said that he'd get up in the morning and he'd just groan and groan. And he said his wife asked him, said, Vern, how come you groaning? He said, it's scripture. It's in Romans chapter 8. And some of you hadn't got there, but it helps me. I wake up in the morning, and if I can just say, and stretch, and my bones pop. And I'll give you something that'll help you old preachers. In the morning, I pull this leg up, and I work that thing. And that one pops, but I can't get this one to pop. But I'll stretch it one and then the other about 12 times, you know, and then get out of the bed and get all stiff in here. A chiropractor told me one time, said, when you stand out of the bed, preacher, he said, stand there and do this. And I hear it pop. But it helps. It hurts, but it helps. And all that. Now, we groan. What's the matter? Our old bodies are getting worn out. Our land's getting worn out. It's groaning. And everything's groaning. But if you read that in Romans chapter 8, he says it's going to be changed. And we're going to be changed. That's what I'm trying to say. And you know what he says, this thing about waiting? Now listen. He said in James 5, verse 7 and 8, he's talking about waiting. He said, do like the farmer. He plants his crop, but he waits for the fruit. And he says in that James chapter 5, and you do the same in waiting for the Lord, you see. The time is coming. And I'm just saying, folks, we need so many things that we could say. Over there, let me give you a verse here. I put it in the 130th Psalm. Listen to what he said in verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. You ever had a tough night and you just think, oh, when morning comes, it'll help. God says, my soul wait. David said, my soul waits for the Lord even more than, and I say, more than they that watch for the morning. It ought to encourage us to know he said he's coming. Now, you know, the book of Peter said, in those days, it'd say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they are. Yeah, they'll say that. But he's still coming, my friend. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years. He's not, he don't want any of us to go to hell. He's long-suffering, not that any should perish, but he is coming back. Now, don't get discouraged. Wait. Now let me put out something else here. Let's, while we're waiting, let's work. Let's work. You know, don't misunderstand me. We're an electron, and I'm not against all that. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things you can't mash a button and do. We need to get out here and just work. You don't find many people that just work. I was raised on a farm. And you never know what a tranquilizer was back in them days. When you get out there, I didn't know tobacco was so bad. John Rice come down there and start preaching about it. I was raised on a tobacco farm. You get out there about 7 o'clock in the morning and prime those first primers, that old deal, and slap it up under your arm after a while, and then, oh my soul. And then that green tobacco gets to smelling, and you get about half sick about 10 o'clock. And then you go to the house and get you something to eat. And then about 12 o'clock, you go to the house and get you a big pot of pinto beans where they've been cooking cornbread, and get back out there and work till dark. All you need is just a place to lay down. You know, that's right. The Lord said he gives rest to his children when we work. And I'm just saying, while we're waiting, let's do the work of the Lord. Over here in Matthew chapter 24, listen to what he said. He said here, watch in verse 42, he said, watch therefore, for you know what hour your Lord comes. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief was going to come and break, he had been watching. So be ye therefore ready, because he's coming an hour as you think not. You go to so many. Over in Luke 19. He says here in Luke 19. He said in verse 12. He said a certain nobleman went to a far country. Received for him a kingdom. Talking about the Lord Jesus. And he gave his 10 servants a pound. And what did he do? He said, you work while I'm gone. If you remember that parable, one got 10 pounds and God blessed him and rewarded him. Other got 5, and then one, he was so lazy and made an excuse and said, I know you didn't reap where you sowed, Lord, and I just kept it and laid it up. And God said, give that to him, the other fella. Now we need to work, my friend. If there's ever a time that we need to work. And in Luke 19, he said now to them, he said, you occupy till I come. See, he hadn't come yet. What do you mean, Brother Bobby? I mean, if there's ever a time when we who believe the Bible need to get out yonder and go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, knocking on doors, witnessing to people, it's the day in which we're living. But we don't have it. We don't have the crowd we used to have on visitation in our church. It's other staff. Now, just because it's getting tough, it's not time to quit. It's time to get in there and go. That's what I mean. And that's what I'm trying to say. We need to be ready and busy working all the time, because he's coming. And he says in Matthew 16, he said, don't you lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, he said. Now what's he saying? He's not saying it's wrong to have something here. The Bible said He'll add what we need if we put him first. But what are you saying? Don't get your stakes too far down here. Think about the eternal things, my friend. And I'm just saying, we're waiting on him. Now let's work. That's what I'm trying to say. And let's work. If you're out there on a bus route, you keep it up. It gets tougher. You keep it up. You keep it up. It's not time to quit. If you teach a Sunday school class and the kid, little kids get meaner and meaner, and you get all them little devils in there and you don't know what to do, don't quit. Just keep it up. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, anybody can go, can float going downstream, but it takes the grace of God to go against it. And we need some people today that will just put their shoulder to the wheel and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep on the old time religion, the blessed word of God. Man, we got them trying to figure out what's wrong with this book. Ain't wrong with this book. No, I've been trying to preach this thing almost 66 years and good English, but I ain't found nothing wrong with it yet. That's what I'm saying. Old Brother Roloff says, the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. And how true that is. So I'm just saying, work. Then I put down the third thing while we're working. Let's keep looking. Just keep looking all the time. Let me give you, I love this over here in Luke chapter 2. He said the grace of God, Titus chapter 2. He said the grace of God brings salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny an ungodliness and worldly lust. We live sober and righteous, not when we get to heaven, but right here in this present world. Now listen to this verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, now get my point. Don't let up. Let's wait and not be impatient. And then let's work. And then let's be looking for him. He said in Hebrews chapter 9, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Listen, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I was thinking this evening, I was reading about Stephen there in Acts 6 and Acts 7. He's just standing true to Jesus. And they was crucifying him every way, if you remember, and throwing stones at him and all the terrible things. He didn't stop. But in Acts chapter 7, just before they stoned him to death, in verse 55, he says that, but he looked up, saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. That's what I'm saying. My friend, listen, just keep working, keep watching, keep looking. He's coming one day. I'd like to be knocking on some door when he comes, wouldn't you? I'd like to be knocking on some door when he comes. Just watch. And then I'd about through, but listen, not all of that, but love is appearing. Just love is appearing. The Bible says it. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, right before he went to heaven? He said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but to all them that love is appearing. Amen. And you remember, I believe it's in 1 John chapter 2. He said that let us do right, so to speak, that we'll not be ashamed when he comes. Look for him. He's coming. Encourage you. Keep pressing on. If there's ever a time that we Christians need to be true and real and dependent on God and walking with God, it's today in which we're living. It's today. When you live right, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be called narrow-minded. I've had people leave me. I've got relatives. They love me, but Brother Bob, you've got to realize we're living in a different day. I said, I know we are. It's getting meaner all the time. That's the truth. But you don't do things like, listen, if God is right one time, he don't change because man's getting meaner and meaner. He don't do that. And you stand with your pastor. And I think it's so wonderful. You've had a man here forever almost. This old man over here. And, amen. And now I believe you've got a young man that's not looking to be popular, but he's looking to do what God's word. And folks, that's encouraging. You take me and my age, Brother Gene's age, we can talk back yonder of some of our old timers that we love so much, old-fashioned Christians who stood for the Bible, have gone on to heaven. And there's people who's crept in and changed those churches. Don't you let the crowds get you. I don't have time for this bigoted stuff. We've been blessed at Gospel Light with good crowds. But let me tell you, why, they're all over our country. You can have a shindig and have a big crowd. That's right. You're not for that. You're for trying to please the Lord. That's the thing. So you be sure you love his appearing. Look for him. And in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, it's about three times he says he's coming again. In that 22nd verse, he said, even so, John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So you look for him. Be occupied till he comes. I believe, and I don't know. We don't know when he's coming. Man's crazy to set a time, because he says nobody knows. But I really believe that I'll be living when Jesus comes. You know what I'm praying? That the Lord will let me. I was telling the supper tonight, the other day, you don't never get all the Bible. It's a book. I can write a book of you, and you can read it one time. You understand about all of it. But you don't this book.
That's right.
And Dewey, I was reading in the 118th Psalm, and I've probably read Psalms hundreds of times. But about a month or two ago, I was reading the 118th Psalm, and I come to the 17th verse, and I don't never remember seeing that verse again. Now listen to what it says. It says, I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I said, Lord, that's my verse right there. That's my verse. Declare the works of God. Someday I will meet him. And I'm not thrilled about the judgment seat. I really am. But if I could hear him say I'm talking about, well done. I'll be the shoutingest preacher in heaven. To hear the master. I love that old song. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. I'd like to be able just to crown him. I'd like to have some rewards that I may lay at his feet.
Amen.
Now, I can't carry a tune here, but I can sing there. And then just stand back and sing that all hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Let angels prostrate fall. Let's bring forth the royal diadem. Let's crown him King of all. Live for eternity. Somebody says sometime that you get too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. If you ain't heavenly minded, you won't be no earthly good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for your presence and thank you for letting me just be here tonight. My brethren, Lord, I love preachers. And I thank you for these men and for this young man here in this church. Thrills my soul, Lord. And he stands for old-time religion, the Word of God, and is not trying to keep from being persecuted, nor not trying to be persecuted, but just trying to please you. I thank you for the Bible, the Word that leads us out of the dark. And I pray you'll help this church here and these people to stand behind this young man. And Lord, we're people. Put their approval on is not the most important thing, but to keep our eyes upon the Savior. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to do that. Now, Lord, if there's somebody here not saved tonight, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will cause them to realize they're going to hell without Christ. He's the only way, and we're all sinners. And I pray that when we stand and sing a verse of invitation, that person, member of a church or not, makes no difference. If it's never been born again, I pray they'll step out. Come down this aisle and let our preacher, someone take the Bible, have prayer with them, and accept Christ. The greatest thing could happen in their life. And then, Lord, if there's a Christian here tonight, discouraged along the way. Encourage them. Help them to be faithful as you teach us. You didn't teach us to occupy till things get tough, but you said occupy till I come, and we know you've not come. And I pray you'll encourage them. Somebody maybe ought to come tonight, rededicate their life to Christ, pray here at an altar. Holy Spirit, you lead and have your way, and I'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. And I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What are we going to sing, brother?
Number 70, Will Jesus Find Us Watching?
That's a good one. Let's stand tonight. If you need to come, here's our pastor. I'll help you anyway. You come on right now as
when
we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night,
yes.
Faithful to him will he find us watching with our Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home?
Yes, just mind them.
Say,
if you want to come, talk to them. My, here's a good place to meet the Lord
watching,
tonight.
Waiting when the Lord
Let's keep singing. You come on, we have a prayer together right here. Come
Blessed
on.
Are those whom the Lord finds watching. In his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there?
Yes.
Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me
Amen.
Still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Amen. Father, bless these who've come to the altar tonight. And I believe you've caused us to make a lot of decisions there in our seat. And help us, help me to practice what I preach tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, thanks for letting me come. And let me say, could I say a word about this preacher's retreat? Clarence Sexton, 20 years ago, wanted to start something. We call it Preacher's Retreat. It don't have to be preachers, just men. And, you know, our church has a camp in Hillsville, Virginia. Not too far from you. It's 65 miles from our church this way. And we have it there. It's next week. Not this one now, but next week on Thursday. Our ladies will fix a bunch of food. And they'll take it up there in a van. And we'll have about three ladies will stay there and work in the kitchen. They love it. You talking about food. I'm talking about country ham. You name it, it's there. We got a lady who used to run a restaurant for years. Her husband died some years ago. And she loves preachers. She won't let it be known, but she'll probably buy hundreds of dollars worth of just stuff, maybe steaks, I don't know. But anyhow, this is what I start to say. We meet on Thursday night, Thursday about 5. We don't have any particular time to go. We just start coming in, usually 100 or more. And then we'll eat supper. That's Thursday. And then after that, we have a tabernacle right down from the dining hall. We'll decide we're going to meet down in an hour or something. We'll have a service. And then maybe preaching, some testimonies, some singing. And then after that, after it breaks up, 9 o'clock or whatever, 8, we'll go back up there and eat again. And all you do, listen, all you do is we got 12, 15 cabins, and you just bring your linen, your personally, and you come and find you a place to sleep. It's got bunk beds in it. If some of you want to come to this church, three or four, you and me and four or five men, and just find your place and put your stuff in there. Each one of them has got restrooms in them and showers. And then you can go back up there at night. And we'll decide, like on Thursday night, before we dismiss, we'll decide what time we're going to eat breakfast in the morning. And maybe 8 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock. But anyway, we all gather and have breakfast. And then we'll go down in the chapel and we'll have somebody preach and have a good time, some of them singing. We'll break up by noontime and go eat lunch. They'll have a big lunch. That's Friday. And then we have a big old swimming pool there, 24 by 75, I think. It's got a big fence around it. And like I said, now just men. If you like to go swimming, then you can go up there, and some of you can swim. Then we got a big old water slide out yonder. I mean, it's a nice one. I never have went on and don't intend to. I like to watch them. Dude, you've been on it, haven't you? I thought you had. Anyway, some go out there on Friday afternoon and they water slide. Some go swimming. And then there's a big old creek way down to end. It's 139 acres in them mountains, really. And down to end's a big old place, and some of them go down there and fish a while. And then we got a ball field, and some of them will play ball. And then some of them will sit around and talk and fellowship. And I remember Clarence said, Brother Bobby, this is what he said. I'd like for us to have a place that, not putting all the emphasis on preaching, we'll have it, but just fellowship and meeting one another. And this is what he said, and not come grinding any axes,
yeah, right.
But just fellowshipping and talking. And you know, there's been preachers there that went through a problem in their church and happened to meet another preacher and just sat and talking. And that, and it just went through his problem. He helped him and things like that. And we are encouraging. Now, that's a week from Thursday. And don't come dressed up, but please wear some clothes. You know what I'm trying to say? Don't come in there about two-thirds naked. No. I mean, you know, let's go, you know, just don't wear a tie or whatever. Just, you know what I'm trying to say, don't you? Yeah. Old Carl Lackey. Any of you fellas ever remember Carl Lackey? Gene, you remember. Old Carl preached revival for me right after I came to Gospelite. for a whole week. Men didn't go like they do now, more of them now than it was women. But he said there he is in the summertime. Boy, he got to preaching one night. He said, some of you women don't wear enough clothes to make a June bug an apron. Carl could get you, couldn't he? So wear a little more clothes than that. But I wish there's a whole lot of you could come, really. Clarence will be there, Lord willing. He's battling a lot of health problems. And his brother Tom, he's in the hospital, but old Tom, pastor in Florida, he's going to try to come himself. And that Tom's crazy. You ever heard him sing, "You Bugged Me," that old song, "You Bugged Me"? Hero, you have. We'll have a good time. Thank you, preacher. I've talked long enough.
It's been a blessing to have him here the last two nights. I'm going to ask him if he wouldn't mind to go out to the lobby. I'm sure all these folks will want to greet you as they leave tonight.
I'll be glad.
It has been our privilege to have you here. I mean that. God bless you.
I don't want to take this with me.
I appreciate that. Are you glad he's been here? Would you say amen?
We use all this stuff. Back when me and Gene started preaching, you'd take a little top coat with you. Didn't know what air it was. And preach, and you didn't perspire. You sweated. Man, you'd sweat just get. And then you didn't preach no coat on. Then you'd wrap up in that old thing, go home. And it was good days. If you'd offered me something like that, I wouldn't know what it was. Hey.
Amen. We are thrilled that he's been here with us. And one reason I bring in men like this is I want to keep men like this in the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. To let our church keep it being exposed to men like this. This is one young preacher that realizes he has not arrived. And I want to glean from men like this as long as I possibly can. So I appreciate you being here. God bless you. Hope many of you will go by and shake his hand, encourage him. He's lost his wife, you know, in the last year or so. And God is using this dear man. And let's be a blessing to him, okay? It's good to have Pastor Charles Scherfe here with us, one of my dear friends. And I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind, sir, to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, please.
Yeah, we're friends.
God bless you.
I taught him how to sing. He scared me one ago when he was talking about giving Bobby the money and sent him a check. I held a meeting over in the edge of Carolina. They said, we'll send you a check. I haven't got it yet. That kind of scared me. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the good word. Thank you, Lord, for thy presence. Lord, without thee, we don't have nothing. But I'm so thankful, Lord, that you love your children. Thank you for thy word. I pray for this great church and their pastor. And thank you for Dr. Leslie, who was here so long. And our Father, for all these preachers. Lord, I know we're living in dark times, but thank God we're nearer home than we was yesterday. And you're coming. And we're looking for you, Lord. And I pray tonight that you'll bless in this meeting. Bless every heart. If they're discouraged, lift them in the grace of our Lord. Put thy arms around them. Pull them close to thee. Let them feel the breath of God. In Jesus' name, amen.